Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained.
Hello, and welcome to CC and Doc Talk. Today we're going to talk about money. Money, 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 money.
Money makes the world go around, the world go around.
Money makes the world go around. I want to go in the most delightful way, but I guess that's a mix of songs, right?
You know, and I suppose it depends. It depends.
Yeah. And, you know, and why do we want to talk about money? Of course, you know, we wrote the book, Courageous Money, Your Adventure Through Money National Park, which is all about how to start learning to talk about money. Because it's not about balance sheets or how much you have or whatever, but it's about being able to share the philosophies around money, your perspectives around money, and being comfortable with it, because we all have emotions associated with money and they're deep.
And so it seems like money would be a divergent topic for us, but in reality, it fits right in with the kinds of things that we often talk about, because the way that we view money, our earliest memories of money, they all color the way that we behave today, down to the jobs that we take, the leadership that we bring to others, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, you don't realize how much of this is rooted in money, what drives us. You know, now it's not just about spending
and or greed.
Greed. You know, greed. Oh my gosh.
Fear of financial insecurity, though.
Fear of financial insecurity. And then, but also this comparison and competition that you don't realize is there. You know, you can't just sit at a dinner table and ask somebody, hey, how much do you make? It's like, big taboo.
Well, when we were kids, that was rude.
Well, it was rude. And you know what? And probably some of us did that, right? You ask somebody, it's like, hey, how much do you make? And they're like, and you get slapped on your hand or on your mouth, whatever, from everybody else. That's dead silence at the table. It's like, oh, no, you don't ask about that. So then you learn immediately to just hush about money. You never ask again.
Right.
Because it was such a painful experience.
It is the number one taboo topic in households before sex. Now, people are more willing to talk about sex than they are about money.
And why does money remain the number one taboo topic? It's mostly because people don't know how to talk about it, right? And so somebody goes and asks somebody, it's like, hey, if your child asks you for money to go to the movies and you go, no, all they hear is the no. But then you feel guilty because you didn't give them the money, or if you did give them the money because you felt guilty to give them the money because they need to go spend time with their friends and you want them out of the house or whatever the case may be, but it impacted your ability to pay rent or electric bill or food on the table or whatever. You know, they don't know the understanding. They don't have a deeper understanding of what's happening behind the scenes.
Of the why,
right? And they don't know that it's in the budget or not in the budget. And a lot of times kids don't find out whether there's money for college or not until it's like
at time to go to college.
You know, time is like, you know, I'm pulling out the application.
Do I have money for that? Hell no, you better get a scholarship.
Because it was never discussed. Yeah, now you need to get a scholarship. It's like, it's too late for me to change my grades now, you know? And so there's just so much that's not discussed, as opposed to, can we be influencing and teaching children at a younger age to be more involved, to be more aware? And, you know, how are you teaching your children the value of money? How are you teaching yourself the value of money?
I was just going to say that. And what about the parents or even the people without kids? I mean, you know, having those money conversations isn't always easy.
Right.
You think about, you know, households where there's two breadwinners, one makes more than the other. Does that create issues? I mean, it's a whole big can of worms.
Competition is big, right? And everybody has this dream of winning the lottery or making it rich or whatever it is. And yet, you know, the research is, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. I mean, up to a certain point. I mean, if you have the ability to pay for a roof over your head and, you know, make sure that it's heated or cooled and have food on the table, yes, money can buy happiness to make sure that you have your basic needs met. But after a certain point, it actually diminishes happiness. Now, it does increase it a little bit when you have, again, enough to pay for the essentials and maybe enough to have a vacation or something in there or have a nice vehicle. Because, of course, we have now status tied to money as well. And what do we want to perceive that our identity wrapped up in it?
I think you're going to have a really hard time convincing people listening to this podcast that the billionaires out there are suffering because of their abundance of money.
Right. You know, that is a tough one to convince. But, you know, I mean, and people are like, Well, yeah, I wish, talking about the wealthy, it's like, yeah, I wish I had your problems. Why don't you give me your money and I'll see, how terrible it is.
And yet, you and I, who have worked with families of significant means for a number of years, recognize that, and this is what I always say to people, is nobody feels sorry for the rich, and yet,
everybody wants to
take,
be rich.
No. If you take normal family dysfunction and multiply it by however many million or billion somebody has, then that number, so normal family dysfunction multiplied by 50 million, that ends up being really, really big challenges.
Yeah, because there's actually, what happens is it becomes detrimental to relationships.
Absolutely.
And especially siblings with cousins. And I mean, all of a sudden,
parent-child, passing it down, and what's it for?
Yeah, there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear of not doing damage with it. And so it becomes very confusing. It's actually very daunting. And it's, you have advisors that can help with this, but there's still underlying emotions when you do have a lot of money that become fear-based.
And yet, most people would be willing to win the lottery to take that chance.
Let me take that chance. And lottery winners end up actually worse off in the end
most
as well,
them, yep.
Right? But yet we still have this drive to be—
For money.
Right? It's just in our culture, it's in our DNA and whatever it is. Again, but we've learned this. You don't see an infant going, ooh, I need to make 100,000, unless they've been taught that.
So what does the concept of courageous money offer to the everyday person?
To take a look at how, be conscious and be aware of, your relationship with money. And even to take a look at where it came from. Where did you learn this relationship with money? Because those early memories are driving a lot of your adult behaviors. Like I might have learned at an early age, ooh, don't trust anybody else to manage my finances, or don't trust anybody else with my money. So then I became very self-focused in being able to make sure that I had enough to live off of on my own, or charted my course or whatever. Or when I then became part of a relationship, to make sure that I was involved in the finances, or even the one leading the finances, right? So to evaluate that, now is that—
So if you're part of a partnership and you know nothing about what's going on financially, that should change.
That should change, absolutely. You need to be involved and you need to be aware. And don't just put the blinders on thinking, I'm going to be okay, or everything's going to be okay, because that's often not the case.
Because
right?
Once it's not okay, it's not okay.
Right. And women end up with managing the money in the end, because they usually outlive, if they're married to a male, they end up outliving the male, and so they end up managing that money anyway. And so to being, ignorant to it, going, everything's going to be okay. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't even know our password to get into the checking account. This is a problem. Right?
So it comes down to both education and conversation.
Absolutely. Getting involved and wanting to get involved, not being afraid. I think we just don't know how. But if we were to look back at, when did you earn money that you had the freedom to spend on your own,
right?
Or to take a look at—
And how did that impact you?
And how did that impact you, and what happened there? Or maybe, where did you lose money, even if it was a $10 or a $20 bill, and how that impacted you? Or, the first time at a casino and you gambled something, and of course you didn't win, and you saw how fast it goes, but then you're trying to immediately, it's like, how do I recoup this? Or you put something in the stock market and it goes down and you lose it. Now I'm like, oh, how do I make that up? Right. So we have these things that affect our emotions and how we want to drive things.
Right.
And so what does all this mean? Right. And so,
well, I think we wrote the book in part because people would come to us and we would tell them what we did with families of significant means. And they would say, why doesn't this exist for regular families, for the rest of us, for the middle class, the lower middle class, et cetera, et cetera? And so we initially wrote this book to be able to share this knowledge and education with others. And then we also wrote it with the intent that it could be used literally as kind of a workbook with with your family and or book club, or, in groups of people. And it contains story sparks and things that get people thinking and really specifically talking about money.
Yeah, and talking about just understanding, instead of just saying, no, you can't have the $20 to put some gas in your tank, to understand why.
Right.
You know, to understand the logic or to be able to really, you know, there's things that you can do if you have a family and young kids around allowances that start teaching them how to manage money at an early age or the value of money at an early age and being involved. And I guess really what it comes down to is to not be afraid of it, to not be avoid it, whether it's the conversations around it and or, you know, how to behave with it.
And we always say that we actually help people deal with the emotional side of money. So when we're saying talk about money, we're not necessarily saying talk about the math and the financials and the data and the nitty gritty, although that might eventually become part of the conversation. We want people to just start telling stories about
right.
how they learned the value of money, about their experiences
yeah.
growing up with money, their experience as adults, you know, with money. You are famous for telling a story about digging around in couch cushions while you were in college to dig up 98 cents for a Taco Bell burrito. That'll give you an idea of how old she is. And, but, you know,
yeah.
that story sticks in my head, as I know it sticks in yours, because that certainly led to your drive and ambition to pick a career path where you would never have to literally scrounge for pennies to buy a burrito again.
Yep. Yeah. And it does. And these, you're right, there are the stories and what formed what led us down this path right now. And some people are just like, you know, I really don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. Well, in reality, it doesn't just take care of itself.
Right. Our tagline is actually changing the way we talk about money one story at a time.
One story at a time. And to look at how were you raised, you know, gender, it has an impact on it. Your generation has an impact on it. Where you were raised, your zip code, the culture that you are in, you know, do you have a two income earning household or one? Were you raised in significant wealth or did you watch your family struggle?
Were you expected to go to college? Was there money for that?
Was there money for that? Were you expected to go to college, but there was no money for that?
Right. You know? Exactly.
And, you know, all the way up to then even, you know, the, you know, retirement, and most people are afraid, you know, will I have enough? And that is a deep fear. And where does that come from? Right.
Status symbols, like our, you know, what was
a symbol,
what,
yeah.
you know, what, the kind of car that you drive, the kind of purse that you carry, et cetera.
Yeah. You know, I'd love to turn this into just a little bit of a series, and we kind of crack open some of the adventure through Money National Park that's in the book and just talk about some of the questions, or maybe, you know, share a little bit of the stories or stories that we've learned from others, heard from others, on some of the stops that we do in the Money National Park.
Right.
And just to get people thinking, you know, a little bit more about it in depth. And, you know, if you're driving in your car with somebody, that you can go, hey, I want to now share my story with you. So put it on pause and do that.
Right.
And, you know, or just to go, hey, at the dinner table or at the next family function, go, you know, I'd love to hear everybody's story about XYZ.
Right. Well, and you know, we actually we created the book with this Money National Park concept, because we took people through stops in the park where we then encouraged them to speak about, to share stories about, you know, these certain stops in the park. And I know we've discussed the book a little bit on the podcast before, but this is definitely a deeper dive. And
right.
and I love your idea that, you know, just pause the podcast and share a story, because inevitably what we found is all we have to do is start explaining to somebody what the concept behind writing this book. And the next thing you know, they completely take over the conversation telling us their story, because it literally, just talking about this concept gets people thinking about their earliest stories, and they start immediately sharing, which is actually the point of the whole thing. It's not
Absolutely.
About our knowledge and wisdom. It's really about, you know, your own experiences. So
I think the ultimate goal is we want you to have confidence around
money
this.
Confidence. Yeah.
You know, I often say there's three things that money can't buy: self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth. And those come from different areas. And so to have confidence, or to have emotions associated with money that are not fearful, tragic, anxiety, you know, dread, oh
right.
my gosh, you know, those. And actually,
and especially for women. I mean, if you survey women, many of them will tell you, at all different socioeconomic levels, many of them will tell you they don't really want to be a part of the finances, either because they it's distasteful for some reason, they're afraid of it,
yeah.
or they don't want to be, they don't want to be put in a position of vulnerability, showing their lack of understanding around it. So they almost sometimes don't even look to education possibilities because they're afraid they're going to be seen as stupid when it comes to
Right.
money, and they don't want that either.
No. Nobody wants to divulge their lack of money savviness or money awareness. And, there's different areas, whether it's in saving, spending, investing, those things, or giving. We all have a talent, we all have a gift, and we're all have an ability that's there, but we don't want to divulge the weakness,
And
side
that's
of it.
really why I love the way that we approach this, because we really took the scary factor out of it. We
Yeah.
really made it very accessible to people.
Yeah. We want people to just have courage in this space. So my favorite quote then it's in the book, but it's what really kind of led me to or led us to write the book actually comes from the Dalai Lama. And when asked what surprised him most about humanity, he answered, "Man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money, then he sacrifices money to recoup his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present, the result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die and then dies having never really lived."
So true.
Very
So
powerful
true.
statement. So, all right, so we want to really open up the door and encourage people to be confident, to tell stories, to learn where it comes from, overcome self-limiting beliefs, just to evaluate your relationship with money, what's driving your behaviors, and are you really just are you doing things in a way that encourages your kids or your family to also open up these conversations and in a way that's healthy and helpful to one another in a safe way.
And do you have to buy the book to do this? Absolutely not. We're going to be doing this series to give you pieces of this
Conversation starters is what they're going to be.
We're gonna be doing this so that you don't necessarily have to. Would we like you to? Absolutely, sure,
Oh, come on. It's cheap. I saw it's on sale out there too. So, you can get it any of the sellers, right?
Yeah, the ebook, we made it very affordable for everybody. We priced it at $9.99. We really don't make a ton off of it. It really was our gift back. And so
Where can they find it though?
you can find it at your favorite bookseller, Amazon. You can actually find it at the library, in some cases, the online libraries. There is a paperback version available if you like that. That one we couldn't play with the price too much because print on demand costs a little bit more, but the ebook, $9.99 at Amazon or Barnes and Noble, any of those places. So I'm going to stop selling the book now because I said they didn't need to buy the book. So
Right. I mean, if you want to get your hands on it, it's available and it's kind of a
follow along
book.
with us.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I think we'll do a short series here where we do some of the story sparks out of the different stages or stops in the Money National Park, and you get a chance to think about your relationship with money from those perspectives. And so, we're kind of excited. And I think the series, they're just going to be kind of shorter little clips. And so, any
Absolutely.
other?
So just to give you a quick clue on some of the stops in Money National Park, we have Money Mindset Mine, we have Fountain of Youth, Gender Mountain, Generation Trail, Culture Crater, Wildlife Viewing Area. That's all about your sibling relationships. The Park Gift Shop, which is really around your first money that you spent yourself,
Where you got your own,
that you
you
got your
earned
own
your own
money.
money to spend. Yeah.
Currency River,
That's
because
about relationships.
currency and water, flowing water, currency. Life Falls, Tall Tales Campground, and Shooting Stars is the last stop in the park.
All right. Well, we look forward to having you back at our maybe the first stop in the Money National Park. We'll see you there.
Thanks for tuning in to Cece and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at Cece and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.